is a holy and a beautiful city, whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high, massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city that soon coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I shall join that bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcame sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city at last. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting,
soon coming down.
Coming down.
Oh, that pearly white city.
Now I am watching.
Let's hear this chorus.
I'm waiting.
I'm waiting.
I'm longing.
For that bright city.
For the white city.
That's soon.
That is soon. Soon come.
You know, it's a delight and a joy to know that we are getting ready for that city. What a day. I don't know the moment. You don't know the moment. But all of us have got to make a trip across the Great Divide. We got to join a world up there, a world down here. You know, there's only two races of people on the earth. This idea of black and white and yellow and, you know, brown, all that's just something for men to fuss about. We just two races. One of us, we race into heaven, and the other race of us is racing to hell. Now, which are you racing for? Which race are you part of? The race for heaven or the race for hell? I call on you today to get ready for that race for heaven. Today, we're going to talk about the holy city, New Jerusalem. Our whole text is in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Today, this morning, getting ready for this broadcast, I read my chapter in my book on the masterpiece, the book of Revelation. I read my chapter on chapter 21, and I'm telling you, I was blessed. The size of that city, the beauty of that city, the grandeur of that city. I don't think the average person, very few people in today's world, have any idea of what God has prepared for them that belong to Him. Did you know God said that in His Bible? He said, has not even entered the heart of man, nor the mind of man, nor have they seen that which I prepared for them that serve me, for them that love me. And so I'm one of those that's on my race to heaven. I got this city in my mind. I've been racing this way over 68 years now. 1952, I was born again, became a believer, and I'm on my way to that city. And it's going to be a grand moment when I arrive. My Juanita is there, and you know, I look around at this hour of this epidemic, and I'm just kind of glad all of a sudden that she's over there instead of here. She was so sick there at the end. I wouldn't want to be here, have to go to the hospital. They wouldn't want to let me in. I'd have to go to see the president of the hospital to get in, to be with her, because she just would not stand it without me being there. And I love that. I did. She was so wonderful. But listen, I'm going to that city also. And you can either go to that city, or you can spend eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, not in the city, but there in with the saved of the earth, or you can spend eternity lost. And I don't want one of you to be lost. I'm going to tell you, there's no such thing as a person that could be an enemy to me that it would make me want them to spend eternity in hell. I just don't have it in my heart. I pray for every unsaved person I know. I pray for everybody that's gone back on the Lord after living a backslid life, for those who have left their first love and are just wandering around after the world. I mean, there's so many things. You know what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27? He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, bring it into surrender to Christ, bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. Apostle Paul knew that any man could lose out and become a castaway. And he said, I'm not going to let that happen to me. He made it plain. I keep under my body. I keep my body disciplined. I keep my life disciplined. I keep me going the right direction. Because I don't want, after preaching to others, that I myself would become a castaway. So I beg of you today, I beg of you to get your life so given to Christ and so surrendered to the cross that you can say with Paul, I keep under my body. I keep myself disciplined. I keep myself surrendered. I keep myself living in my Bible, living in my church, and living in the gospel that I preach to others, and living for the Lord Jesus Christ, lest at any time I should become a castaway. That's a good thought to always have in your mind and to always be faithful. Let me take you to the book of Revelation 21. Now, I'm not going to read a lot. I'll go backwards and forth to verses. But I want to talk about this city called New Jerusalem, the holy city. There's eight names given for the city in this 21st chapter of Revelation. Eight names. And all of them are magnificent names. They point to the greatness of this city. All the riches of the world wouldn't buy 1/12 of this city. It's 12 stories high, and every level is 1,500 miles square. The city is 1,500 miles high, and you're talking about a city so massive and so grandeur, so full of riches, and there's no sun, don't even need the sun. The city itself, the city of New Jerusalem, which is a temple, a tabernacle, it's the house of God. No wonder David said in Psalms 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because New Jerusalem is actually a temple or a tabernacle. He calls it both. And Jesus Christ and God the Father are the temple of it. And all the glory of their magnificent being, magnificent persons will fill the breath of that city and the breath of the new heaven and the new earth. And God will walk among us as he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You remember when God would come down in the garden in the cool of the day to walk with Adam and Eve before they sinned? Before sin entered the world and the scene and the Garden of Eden, God would come down and walk with them. The day's coming when God's going to come down and walk with you and me. If we're part of that city, God will be big enough and we'll have eternity and he'll have time for everybody. There'll be no end of the time he'll have for everybody. And it will be a marvelous place. And we'll know one another. I'll be Joe Chambers forever. Jesus was Jesus when he lived on the earth. He was Jesus when he hung on the cross. He was Jesus in the tomb. He was Jesus when he came out of the tomb. He was Jesus when he was in the heart of the earth before he came out of the tomb. He was Jesus when his 11 disciples saw him. He was Jesus when 500 approximately watched him ascend from the Mount of Olives. He was Jesus going up through the stratosphere. He was Jesus when God honored him and gave him a name which is above every name. I'm telling you, he's Jesus. Always will be, and you are whoever you are and always will be. You say, well, maybe I'll be good looking over there. Everybody will be good looking over there. There won't be no ugly in heaven. There won't be no ugly in heaven. I promise you. All right, let's go to John, to Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold the tabernacle of God. Behold the tabernacle of God. Isn't that beautiful words of which men and he will dwell with them and they shall be his people and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We shall dwell with God and God shall dwell with us. What more do I need to say than to say that we're going to dwell with God and God is going to dwell with us and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor pain, nor crying, but there shall be, I'm sorry, nor crying, hither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Now, I love that term. Let's start right there. Behold, I make all things new. You hear all kinds of opinions about the future. You hear all kinds of opinions about how it's going to be. Is there going to be this earth just completely stripped away and a brand new earth? All the heavens vanish in a new heaven to appear? No, he says, I make all things new. See, Jesus died on the cross to redeem the universe. Jesus died on the cross to redeem the heavens. He died because the devil had been there, see? And the devil had left his footprints in heaven. So heaven's got to be stripped of that memory and stripped of that time that Satan walked on its wonderful streets. And the earth is going to be completely redeemed and be a new... Friend, I'm telling you, we've got so exciting things to happen until they are breathtaking. I'm telling you. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are the true and faithful. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. He that overcometh. Now this is one word you don't want to miss. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, we'll go back to different parts of the scripture, but the 21st chapter of Revelation is my text. So why don't you open your Bible and get the King James Version now, so you'll have the same words as Brother Chambers. And let's look at some things in this great chapter that are just plain overwhelming. I got a lot more than I can get to, I promise you. But let's begin with these eight titles, eight things by which he describes the city of New Jerusalem. This great holy city. The first is the holy city. Do you understand? We're talking about the holy city. We're talking about a city that will be absolute. Well, see, the city of New Jerusalem is different than heaven. You understand? Satan was in heaven, but Satan has never been in the city of New Jerusalem. He's never been there. Jesus created that city after he was resurrected and ascended to heaven. Remember what he said in John 14:1? I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife passed 3 years ago, and I still have trouble trying to situate me with her in heaven. I still have trouble understanding what must be going on up there. I've asked God several times to let me have the trip that Paul had. You remember, he said that God caught him up to paradise, and he saw paradise. He didn't say how long he was there, but he said the Lord would not let me come back and tell you about paradise. Oh, why couldn't Paul tell us about paradise? I think it was so magnificent that if Paul would have told us, maybe people would have wanted to serve God just for the city instead of for God. See, we have to serve God because we love God. We serve Jesus because we love the Lord. We don't serve him for heaven. That's not why I'm serving God. I'm going to serve him. If I thought there was no city, I would still serve God. I mean that. I mean, any other life is nothing but well, literally, living in sin is living a little bit like hell on earth. It really is. I see people all the time living in sin, and it's miserable looking. It's pathetic. I'm overwhelmed by the sorrows I see, the darkness I see, the path that Satan will take you down. When you give yourself over to the world instead of the Lord Jesus, the devil will take you down the darkest roads you imagine. And all kinds of dark and terrible things will begin to happen to you. And so I'm glad he didn't tell us, although my curiosity tells me, oh, would I like to see paradise? Would I like to go there and come back and tell you? Wouldn't that be something to come back and tell you all about it? Well, I don't guess he's going to let me. He sure hasn't done so yet, and I'm 84, so I don't know how much time I got. I guess he was waiting for me to get so completely surrendered to him until, if he did, I'd give him all the glory. Well, I promise him right now, I'd give him all the glory. Well, let's look at these names of the city of New Jerusalem. Number one is called the Holy City. I mentioned that. It's a holy city. It is absolutely, the devil has never put his footsies on 1 inch of that city. The devil has never walked down the street. Not a demon has ever been there. Nothing unclean, nothing wicked, nothing evil. It is absolutely a perfectly holy city. No sin has been there. No sin has entered there. Hadn't been a lie told. Hadn't been a thievery done. Nothing has happened in that city. That's not of the purest substance. It's a holy city. And then I love it that it's New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Do you understand that Jerusalem is a God name? a God name. And I say God, I mean it is a name that just fills the Bible. God lives in heavenly Jerusalem. There is a Jerusalem up there in the northern parts. When people see the northern lights, they're seeing the lights of that city. I believe that. You say you're crazy. Oh, well, maybe I am. But I've heard enough about it and seen enough about it that I know it has to be the light of that city in the northern parts. Oh, yes. There is a city of God in the northern parts. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That city is a magnificent city. I was going to quote, and it didn't come out. So I'll read in the book of Psalms. It talks about that city. And I've always loved it. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. That's Psalms 48, 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her for a refuge. That's the first three verses of Psalms 48. I mean, that was written by the psalmist David because he had a little sense of the city of New Jerusalem. Called it Zion. Great is God's Jerusalem. Great is God's Zion. And then I've been to Zion over in Israel, and that's a beautiful city. That city has been the heart of the earth all the way back, even before David. Remember, Abraham met a prince and he spoke of Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem, the prince of Jerusalem. Well, he was talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, but many people think of the earthly Jerusalem. My friend, I'm telling you, there is a holy Jerusalem now, a wonderful city. Nobody but John has seen it. Nobody but John human frame has seen it, but oh, what a day that's going to be when we do see it. And then it's called the Lamb's Wife. The Lamb. Who is the Lamb? We know who the Lamb is. That's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Well, the Lamb has a wife. And here it says in this, in the ninth chapter, it is called the Lamb's wife. Let me just go read that verse. You know, you get into these things, and they're so wonderful. And if you don't read them, you miss some of the structure of them. It says, and there came unto me an angel, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's Revelation 21, verse 10. Isn't that beautiful? Come, I will show. No, that's verse 9. I'm sorry. Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So here in one verse, Jerusalem is called the bride. The bride, and then it's called the Lamb's wife. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, I thought Jerusalem was a place where people live. Well, they are. They're the bride. And in the city and the bride are so united together that the city is called the bride, as well as the great multitude of the redeemed that's going to make up the inhabitants of the city. They both are called the bride. But I like calling the city the bride because it's the place where the bride shall live. We will inherit that city for eternity. It will be the home of the bride of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. Is that all the saved? No, that's not all the saved. That's the one that he has chosen. He has chosen them because they earn the right to be chosen. The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's a multitude called to serve the Lord, but there is a smaller number within the multitude who are chosen to be part of the bride. And they're not chosen to be part of the bride because of the color of their skin, or because of the wealth, or because of the mentality. They're called to be part of the bride because they earn that reward. It is a reward. I love to read about it in all the old writers, great men of God. Many today don't preach what I'm preaching to you, but the old timers did. I promise you that. One of the greatest soul winners there ever was said, if the bride is not distinctly the result of reward, then what is rewards all about anyway? Rewards are about earning the place that you will serve in and be part of for eternity. You are right now earning your place in the future kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're earning it right now. The way you're living, the way you're faithful, the things you devote yourself to, the things you love beyond all else, the things that your life is just caught up in, that's what you're going to be rewarded for. And so you're either earning the right to live somewhere in the city, or you're earning the right to serve somewhere in the millennial, or you're earning the right to be part of the bride. Everything you receive as a born-again believer is received by reward. We are saved by grace. Oh, nobody gets saved by what you do. You can be so dedicated and devoted and still be full of carnality and not even born again. The church has got a lot of people that are not really saved. They just, they're religious, and they do things in the religious vein. They like that better than the things out there in the economic world. Okay, all right, I understand all of that, but I'm trying to help you know that being part of this bride, the Lamb's wife. Do you want to be part of the Lamb's wife? Do you? Are you dedicated to being part of the Lamb's wife? So he said the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now that's those two names. So we already got, we've got the holy city. We got New Jerusalem. We got the Lamb's bride. And then we got the bride, or the Lamb's wife, I'm sorry. Then we got the bride. But I like another name he gives to the city. This is breathtaking to me. And that's the name Tabernacle. The city of New Jerusalem is called a tabernacle. Now, why in the world is it called a tabernacle? Well, I'll tell you why, but let me read it first. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's talking about the new city. He's talking about the holy city. He's talking about New Jerusalem. He's talking about the Lamb's wife. He's talking about the bride. And he calls it a tabernacle. A tabernacle. A tabernacle is a place where God is manifest. A tabernacle is a place where God reveals His glory. It's a place where His glory is ever present and always available and always real. Hallelujah. So New Jerusalem is a tabernacle. Think about it. You say, I don't enjoy much going to church. Well, you're not going to be part of New Jerusalem because you're going to be in church all your life, the rest of your days. That's why David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to tell you something, friend. My delight is that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've been saved 68 plus years now. I've always loved the house of God. I come here every morning. I was here this morning at 5:15. To get on my face with God, and did I have a marvelous time. I was in the tabernacle. I was in the house of God. It's not the eternal house, but it's the present church where I'm committed, where I'm shepherd, where I'm dedicated to walk with God and love Him. But that tabernacle is where we'll dwell eternity. So New Jerusalem is called the tabernacle. I would guarantee you, many of you have never heard that before. And I don't think it ever dawned on me quite like it has this time. Everything about the Bible just gets bigger for me. Richer and bigger and better and richer and bigger and better. It's a growing book. So it's called a tabernacle. And then it's again called a bride adorned for her husband. a bride adorned for her husband. Let me read that. I've already read it, but let me read it again. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Prepared as a bride. The city is enhanced to such a grandeur that it is called the bride adorned for her husband, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb. I mean, these are terms that describe the magnificent and the grandeur of the city that we know of as New Jerusalem, or the holy city. Or the city of light. You just heard a precious lady singing about this great city. What a day. What a day. This city will be the center. This city, I got so many things to say about it. I'm trying my best to hurry, and I'm not good at it. And then it's called a great city. I like that. Called a great city. That's in verse 10 again. I've already read it and read it again. And I heard him, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me a great city. So he calls it a great city. Oh, it is great. I'll get to a little of that in a minute. I hope you'll hang on. Stay with me. If not, I mean, read the 21st chapter of Revelation. Read it slowly, about three times, maybe five times. I'll read it every day for a week. And study it as you read it until you begin to memorize certain little key parts of it. And it begins to get a hold of you. The part I'm remembering, Bill, is what I read in, what verse was it? But anyhow, it says, "Behold, I make all things new." See, I make all things new. I don't replace old things with new things. I make all things new. That's, we must remember that. His death on the cross was to redeem everything the devil had made a mess of. His death on the cross was to make everything perfectly pure that Satan had come along and destroyed and defiled and decursed. You know, it's marvelous to hear God say things like that, because when God says it, that settles it. Did you know that? I make all things new. A great city. Then it's called Holy Jerusalem. Holy Jerusalem. I like that term. It's so holy. It is so holy. Did I already say that holy city? No, I said first time holy city. Now it's holy Jerusalem. See, he takes a play of words all through this chapter until the city becomes the center of Revelation 21. It just becomes the center. And it's a bride. It's a tabernacle. Then he speaks of it as the temple, that God the Father and God the Son is the temple of the city. Is the temple of the city. So it's the temple, but they are the temple of the city. It's a tabernacle, but they are the center of this tabernacle. And the city is a holy city. And it's as a bride. It's a beautiful, it's arrayed, it's adorned, it's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm telling you. And then I love the term that it's a fountain of living water. The city is a fountain of living water. You'll see in the first verse of the next last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22, Revelation. It starts off by speaking of this city. And here's what it says, and I'll read it to you. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now the throne's in the city. So he sees this river proceeding out of the throne, which is out of the city, of both the Father and the Son. So it's a fountain of living waters to satisfy the longings of everybody. Now, something came to me a while ago. I was sitting here praying and waiting on the broadcast time and waiting on loving you and bringing you something rich and sweet. And I got to thinking about how the heart of man has an unsatisfiable desire. There's something in every one of us that whatever happens today, tomorrow, there's always these feelings of not being satisfied. That's why people go and window shop all the time, is they're never satisfied. That's why men will go by and visit the new car shop every so often, because they're never satisfied. And when my wife passed, I realized that there was something inside of me that loved her and was satisfied by her. I could be happy if I was holding her hand anywhere doing anything, if I had her hand in mine and she's there looking at me with her sweetness and letting me know she loves her Joseph, and I'm sitting there loving my Juanita, and we could be happy, and suddenly she's gone. She's in heaven and I'm still here. And all I tell you is, I will sit down in my house sometime, and the longing of my heart will be almost shattering. I mean, just longing. And I have to go to pray and go to quoting the Bible, go to seeking the Lord to get myself out of that terrible feeling, because we are human beings and there's something inside of us that's never satisfied. I want to tell you something. Ooh, it dawned on me a little while ago, and it overwhelmed me. When we get to heaven, the whole beauty of everything God has is going to satisfy every pain inside of you, every desire you've ever felt, every emotion that's ever gone unsupplied. It's going to be told. You will feel completely and perfectly happy, and there won't be an ounce of you that has an ounce of longing ever again for eternity. It will be a totally satisfying experience. And I believe the presence of God and the presence of Jesus is the essence of that satisfaction. They are like a river of living waters flowing to satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. There will be a completeness take hold of us and possess us, and we will be possessed by a completeness that's so full and so total and so absolute that we will be happy and happy and happy forever and ever and ever. And along with all that happiness, we will have so much to enjoy. I mean, it's overwhelming, the things that we will have to enjoy, to know that I will be part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, you say, do you know that? Well, I'm striving to that, and I believe I'm earning that, and I'm like Apostle Paul. I gotta have, and you know, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, is to be part of this bride. Is to be part of this bride. And that's my high calling. And I press toward it. And I believe I'm going to acquire it. I really do. But I can tell you this. Whatever I acquire will be totally satisfying to me. And I will be happy with him forever. I promise you that. But those who are called and chosen. Hallelujah. And if you're chosen and you're bedrock for Jesus, and he's everything, and the house of God is your delight. You see, I said the other day on Facebook, you don't build your life, don't build the church around your normal natural life. You build your natural normal life around your church. You are not the center of your Christian life. He and his church is the center of your Christian life. And whatever you are planning, you plan it around your church. You don't plan your church around it. You plan your church around Jesus. Now, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. And that certainly centers you in the church. So the city is for the bride of Christ. Now, the Bible said the gates of the city never close. The gates of the city never close. The whole world, the heavens and the earth, full of people who have been saved, who are part of the kingdom of God and part of the kingdom of Christ. And they spend eternity in heaven and eternity in the things of God. There will be a multitude of them who live in the cities of the world. The Bible says very clearly that the new heaven and the new earth will be full of cities. And those cities will be where the saved live, and they will bring the riches of their cities to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the capital of the earth. Now, this city is so light, so full of light, that there's no need of the sun. The city of New Jerusalem will lighten the whole new heaven and the whole new earth, and everything will be lit by this city. Oh, it may not be visible on the total other side of the sphere, but it will be, the light of it will be visible, and there will be no shadows there. You won't be able to get behind something and hide. There won't be no places where it's dark back there because the sun can't reach it. Oh, no, no. This light from the city will fill every inch of the whole stratosphere, the whole heaven, and the whole earth. So the city is the light of the whole new heavens and the whole new earth. What a place, what a place. The very presence of heaven and earth will be so overwhelming until there will be no sin nowhere. There will be no such thing as sin. Sin would have passed away. Former things will not be remembered. Sin will be no more. The things that Adam and Eve got involved in sin, and the presence of Lucifer is forever vanquished and gone and over with. Oh, what a day. Now, the city is so massive. We got to think about the size of this city. It is 1,500 mile cubic. That means high and wide both ways. 1,500 miles. That's 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500. 1,500 this way, 1,500 that way, and 1,500 that way. And it has 12 foundations. So that those foundations will be stacked up that beautiful city toward the great heavens. Hallelujah. And you're talking about, I was looking at my article that came out of the book, The Masterpiece. You ought to get my book, The Masterpiece. We had people ordering it this week. I wish I could get it in every home all over the world. Do you know how tall the city of New Jerusalem is? Mount Everett is 29,035 miles high. Did you know that? Mount Everett, 29,035 miles high. Do you know how high the city of New Jerusalem is? 7,930,000 feet. 7,930,000 feet. Is that, I'm sorry, 920,000 feet. That's how tall it is. I mean, Mount Everett is nothing but a molehill compared to the city of New Jerusalem. And every level is 225 miles apart. Every level, I'm sorry, that's not right. Every level is 125 miles apart. Every level, 125 miles apart. So level one, 125 miles up, there's another level and another level and another all the way to the top. And the whole city is made out of jasper stone. It appears the jasper stone is the exterior, the structure of the building, but the inside garnished with gold. So the city is a golden city. And these walls are massively high. Wonderfully high. And each wall level is garnished with a precious stone. I always like the 12th level because it's garnished with amethyst. The amethyst stone. Can you imagine how beautiful it would be? Now you're talking about 1,500 miles on four sides. That's 6,000 miles around the city, and that whole outside of this 12th level is garnished with amethyst stones. There's no such thing as treasures on the earth that even begin to compare with this marvelous city. Do you understand that? You're talking about a city paved, the streets of the whole city paved with gold. Every street paved with gold. I mean, it's so gorgeous. The gates on all four sides, there's three gates on each four side, four of the sides of the building. That's 12 gates. Each of those gates is named after one of the tribes of Israel. Each of those gates is named after one of the tribes of Israel. So you know it's the city that relates to the world, to us, all of us. God's people from the dawn of human history, God's people have been destined to this city. God's people have been planned for this city. It's part of God's great drama of the finish of it and then eternity to bear. I mean, what a picture. What a marvel. What a marvel. And so you got these massive walls. It is so tall that it's amazing to me. When John would see the city, when John would see the city, the angel of the Lord. I like this. Let me take you to it. Let me find the right place here. Here we go. Verse 9. And there came one of the angels, seven angels, which had the seven last vials of wrath to be poured on the earth, saying, "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And listen, and he carried me away in the spirit. See, John is seeing this in the spirit. It's all a drama before him. You don't just hear words. He sees it dramatized. He sees the enacting of it. Who enacted all this? Maybe angels? I don't know. But I know John saw it. John saw it. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Now notice that God's angel took John, but it took him to a great and high mountain. Now, why did he take him to a great and high mountain? Because he's fixing to look at a city that's 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide. How are you going to see that if you don't have a vantage point that would be, in this case, a great and high mountain? How high that mountain was, we don't know. It was high enough to see that whole city. It was high enough to look on a city 1,500 miles square. I would say it was probably pretty good ways up. A huge mountain. And see, John's in the spirit, so we're not hindered here by earthly figurations and earthly numbers and earthly height. We're looking here at something heavenly and something wonderful. So the angel took John to exceeding great and high mountain. Listen now, and showed me. He saw it. Showed me. Notice that he didn't say told me. He showed me. You know, one of the things I love about Revelation is all through it you see these great dramas. You see these great panorama scenes. You see these great panorama scenes. You see these scenes that are just heavenly, breathtaking. And John tells us what he saw. Somebody says, I don't believe that's how it is. Well, that's how John saw it. Now, you see, when you see that John saw it, when you see that John saw it, when you understand that John saw it, then you know it had to be real, because the angel wouldn't have showed him a lie. The angel wouldn't have showed him something that didn't exist. This is a dramatic moment. This is a dramatic thing. And John is seeing it. I love that. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. In this prophetic picture, it's coming down. See, we aren't there yet. That's future. I may get to behold that. I know I will behold that. We'll all see it if we're part of his people. We're part of his great company of the saved. And so he showed me the great city of holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. I didn't get a hold of that while ago. That's another description of the city, having the glory of God. The city glows with the glory of God. The city glows with the glory of God. And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What a picture. Hallelujah. And had a great high, and I'm sorry, and had a wall great and high. Had a wall great and high. No wonder John had to be carried to a mountain. And had 12 gates, and he mentions all 12 of the gates, 2-3 on either side of the city, east, west, north, and south. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations. The walls of the city had 12 foundations. You see how it names these 12 different levels that we have in this great city? And in them, the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. See, the gates are named after the Old Testament patriarchs. The walls, the foundations, are named after the 12 apostles. See, God's bringing the whole church into his picture here. It's all of us. It's the church from Adam and Eve until right now, and until it's all finished. And it's going to be finished soon. I'm telling you, what we are beholding is the echo of the end. What we're watching is the signs of the finish. What we're watching is the judgment of God beginning. People have killed unborn babies like they were nothing but clutter for the lives of those that were pregnant, heavy with child. And the way evil has abounded has got God in his great kingdom preparing for the end when all of this is going to be judged. And he goes down and begins to name those 12 foundations, and he names each of those jewels that decorate one each of those 12 foundations. And you know this has to be up like this, because 12 foundations, and each of them decorated with a different jewel. I mean, it's all such a picture of magnificence, a picture of the greatness of God, and the beauty of all he's preparing for all of us. And I've hardly got started here. It is so much. It's beautiful. I love how the angel carried him away, and there's no temple there, because the Lord God and Jesus are the temple of it. There's no need of the sun, as I told you earlier, and it's all so glorious and beautiful. Each level of the 12 levels is expensive and grand. A river flowing out of the city. Now, we all have a hunger, as I said earlier, for satisfaction. This city is the final satisfaction of the whole universe. I mean, the whole heavens and the earth will be completely, I mean, they will be so excited of this city, and the doors, the gates are open day and night, and so there's a constant flood of the saved of the earth coming to the temple to worship God the Father and God the Son. And hallelujah, I presume those who are part of the bride of Christ will be the welcoming company for all the saved of the earth as they come and go. And the city will be a place of grandeur. I'm going to tell you, all the animals of God will be present. And all the birds of the heavens will be present. And everything that God made and put in the Garden of Eden will be beautifully adorned. You're talking about a city so magnificent, so wonderful. And you know, I'm kind of a crazy man when I get into all of this. But I'm trying to help you and get you excited. I want you to get excited. Now, I got 12 minutes. I didn't know the time's gone so fast. But will you grab a phone? The lines are fixed where I can answer you and hear you quickly if you dial 704-391-0588. I'm going to put you up here so you see the phone number. Just that first number, 704-391-0588. Now, it's not going to stay but a minute, so get it written down and grab your phone. I want to take some calls, and I want to answer questions that you may have about this city. Now, let's go back. Well, I'm waiting on you to call now. You're welcome. You really are. I got two or three things I want to say to you, so please stay with me till the last moment. I want you to get this. I want you to get excited about this city. I want you to become part of the overcoming saints that get ready to live in the new heaven and the new earth, and maybe even the city of New Jerusalem. I wish every one of you could be part of the bride of Christ. I would like myself to have encouraged a multitude to start devoting themselves to Christ. Quit playing games with your faith. Quit being careless about your church life. Quit being careless about your devotion to the Bible. Set you a prayer time every day to get alone with God and to grow in the fellowship of the Holy Ghost and to get rich in the mercies of God. I'm telling you, to be full of the Holy Ghost is one of the most wonderful things in all the world. There's nothing as wonderful as living life full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I could not stand not to be part of the crowd living only for Jesus and serving him with all my heart. I had something here I planned to play at the end. Where did I put it? Oh well, I'll find it in a minute. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, and those who are ready are going to be leaving. Are you getting ready? Are you ready? Are you overcoming? What do you have to overcome? I'll tell you three things you got to overcome. One, you got to overcome yourself. Did you know most of us have quite a part of selfishness in us? We don't want anything that we got to give up. What I think, I mean, I do. I'm gonna do it like I want to do it. You know, you hear that all the time now. I'll be what I want to be. I'll believe the part of the Bible I want to believe, which is part of the Bible. No. I'm talking about overcoming yourself until you put yourself on the altar, until all you are is on the altar for all He is. I can think of nothing richer and more wonderful in all the world than walking with Jesus and living close to Him and knowing that you're ready to go when He calls. And I'm telling you, friend, that's going to be a grand moment. That's going to be a grand moment. And He wants you to be part of Him. He wants you to be part of Him. And when you are part of Him, it's a rich life. It's so satisfying until there's no end to it. There's really no end to it. And I'm inviting you, walk with Jesus. Give your life to Him, He that overcometh, the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you know the only time in the Bible that the whole name for Jesus, the Lamb's Book of Life, is named right here, the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you in the Lamb's Book of Life today? That's the only people going to go to heaven, those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you know when you get saved, Jesus writes your name down in His book? If you would right now get on your face and give your life to Christ, surrender all you are to serve and live for the Lord, Jesus would write your name down in His Lamb's Book of Life, and He would know your name. And the Father says in His Bible that all the sins that the blood washes away, He never remembers them against you again. They are forever gone. They are forever washed away. They are no longer there. And I want to remind you, there's no tears in that city. If you have a loved one that you've tried to win and they will not respond, they're bullheaded, they're going to go to hell, a burst. I mean, they just can't stand the thoughts of turning their life over. Isn't that terrible that someone would have that? But the world's full of them. Well, if they stay lost and you don't ever win them, you will not remember them to grieve when you get to heaven. I know people that I love so much, and it'll break my heart if they're not there, if I felt like I feel now. But when I get there, that all will be removed, and it won't break my heart anymore. It really won't. So there'll be no tears in heaven. Did you know that? No tears in the city. He says that right at the beginning of this great text. He says no tears there. Now, I want you to get yourself ready with God. Would you today decide, while I'm sitting here just loving at you, would you decide for Christ? Turn your life over to Him. And if you're kind of a half-hearted Christian, do something about that. Don't continue that half-heartedness. Give it all on the altar. Become a tender. You know the fruit of the Spirit? You know what it is? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the believer's life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's a marvelous life, and it's a life for you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to live in it and serve in it and do the things that bring Him honor. He will be blessed by your devotion to Him. I promise you that. He will be blessed. Now, I want to talk to you about a couple of announcements. School. We are going to have a great school this year. We believe. I mean, it's tough getting ready to go, but we're on schedule. And we need you to know that Paul Creek Christian Academy is going to be a place that you can trust. I'm telling you, we are going to keep this place so sanitized. We do it for our church. We all these months now, we've had a big camp meeting. We're the only one I know that had a camp meeting with no bad results. Nobody got sick because we're doing everything we know to do to sanitize this place, to keep it absolutely pure, absolutely pure. And I need a manager for my cafeteria. I need a manager for my cafeteria. I got one prospect that I haven't had a chance to review yet, but I'll review probably Monday. But you may be the right person. I don't know, manager for my cafeteria. And I may need a couple of teachers because we could have an explosion of our enrollment. And if we do, we'll have to start some classes, and I would need teachers. So either way, if you have any of these desires, you need to contact us immediately. Don't wait past Monday morning. Call the number 704-391-0588. Bring your resume over and let's get acquainted with you. If you want a school that's going to have wonderful in-class teaching and teachers doing everything that's safe, sanitizing this building from one end to the other every day, checking temperature of children twice every, we're really going to do the right things. Distancing, all of that, we're going to do it right. And we're doing it right for church. And either way, you're welcome in Fall Creek. I promise you, we are doing our best to be what God wants us to be in this hour. We really are. So we do possibly need a staff member to, don't know exactly, but I know I would like to be up on top of that and be ahead of the game, okay? Ahead of the game. So be in touch immediately. Don't wait past Monday. Why don't you come to church tomorrow? I promise you, you can sanitize your hands in the door. We have space seating every other pew. We encourage everybody to keep yourself safe apart, separation. You may wear a mask if you like. That's up to you. You can at least wear it in and if you want to and take it off as you sit alone somewhere spaced in the sanctuary. But that'll be up to you again. And I promise you everything we do is safe. Everything. And we are sanitizing this building until I don't believe a virus could exist in this building. That's how we're sanitizing. I mean every inch of it. Every inch of it. I mean, I'm going overboard, I guess. But I know what it is to do things clean and pure. Okay? And my teachers, oh, they're wonderful. They are wonderful. You would love our teachers. I promise you that. You would love our teachers. They're some of the best. And again, we may have an uptick that we need to start a couple of classes. And if we do, then you need to let me know that you need to, that you have a teaching certificate and you like to be a teacher. We sometimes hire a teacher in some areas that's not yet certified, but a great teacher knows what they're doing and good at their job. You know what your capacity is, and I'd love to talk with you. Hey, I'd love to talk with you as parents. I'd love to have you in the house of God tomorrow. I promise you. And I want you to go back. And this sermon will be archived on the internet and archived on Facebook and available right here at our school, our church. We want you to grow in the things of God and be usable to Him. Now read this 21st chapter of Revelation, will you? Will you read this 21st chapter of Revelation? Read it today. Read it today. I mean, really, you'll be blessed. And share this program now. It's on Facebook, archived. And so you can share it. And it will go a lot of places. And a lot of people might hear it. And they might get saved. They might give their life to Christ. Did you know the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins? That the worst of sinners can be washed clean and pure in a moment of time if they surrender to Christ? And did you know the sick can be healed in a moment of time if you trust in those stripes that was oozing with the blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, I pray for you right now if you're sick in body. Let virtue flow. Let healing flow. Give my friend a miracle right now, Father. I carry a burden for every person out there sick. I carry a burden that they might be healed, that they may know that great power of Christ to make completely whole. You're the healer, Lord. You're the healer. Hey, it's been a great program. I'm sorry nobody called. I thought sure you'd call. Maybe. This subject is just breathtaking. And I only touched the surface. You can read Revelation 21 and get a even greater amount of information. And I hope you will. Now, do remember our school. Remember our school, we start what, in 3 weeks? School starts in 3 weeks. I think that's right. Teachers start in 2 weeks, or maybe it's 2 weeks, but school starts. Well, I can't keep up with it. But we'll be ready. I promise you that. We're dedicated. We're giving it all we got. We're committed to the ultimate, to the best. We really are, because we love your children and we love the cause of Christ and we love the kingdom and we're here to give God all we are for the kingdom. Now, I love you. Jesus will come into your life if you let Him. Please know that this is a pure place you can come to church in the morning. This is a clean place you can come to church in the morning. Come in those front doors there, sanitize your hands, and come down and be seated and keep distance, and you'll be safe. I promise you. We'll pray for your healing and for your cleansing, and we'll claim a miracle of your life. I tell you, we mean that with all our heart. I love you. I love you much. You can be saved by grace. Did you know that? You can be saved by grace.
By grace.
By grace.
I've been saved by grace. My name
is in the book of life.
I've been saved by grace of mine.